Kia ora, ko Fosmithaho. Nga mai ki te whare, welcome to the house. Today, I'm going to be taking a look at the recent use of urgency. And then, in a few minutes, Johnny Blades is going to check into a week of ructions in the chamber. This new 54th Parliament first met in December last year. And since its ceremonial opening week, Parliament has sat on 16 days. On 11 of those days, usual order has been set aside and the rules of urgency invoked instead.
The manner in which this government has used urgency to progress its agenda, including the disestablishment of the Māori Health Authority, is an abuse of power.
If you've been watching Parliament, you will have picked up that opposition parties are getting increasingly tetchy about just how much urgency is being used and for what.
They can't argue that just because there was an election means that they can overturn parliamentary democracy.
By my count, this Parliament has passed 14 bills in 7 weeks using urgency, most under urgency through all stages. By comparison, in a study of 24 years of New Zealand's Parliament through until 2010, the average number of bills under urgency through all stages was 10 per Parliament. So we've beaten that average in 7 weeks, with more than 90% of the Parliament yet to go. Now, urgency isn't always bad. Sometimes there are very good reasons for it, like fixing a mistake or enacting an excise change without unfair advantage. And urgency isn't always about speed. There are sometimes practical reasons. So let's have a quick look at what urgency is and some of the reasons that it's used. Briefly, urgency allows governments to pass laws faster by setting aside specific rules and processes. And it does this in 4 key ways. Firstly, it allows Parliament to sit for longer days or even on extra days. This Parliament hasn't actually sat on extra days, just a few extra mornings. But as it happens, morning sittings can be done without using urgency. Second, urgency allows a government to introduce new legislation to the House and then debate it immediately without the usual 3-day wait so that MPs can read it. Thirdly, urgency allows Parliament to end a debating stage on a bill and immediately begin the next stage, rather than waiting till tomorrow.
This bill is set down for third reading immediately.
And lastly, and this is the rule change that angers all oppositions, urgency allows a government to choose to entirely skip the select committee stage, the one where the public is invited to contribute. It's a much more drastic change than the others, but if speed is of the essence, dropping the select committee hearing saves up to 6 months.
These are the checks and balances on unfettered power, and what we have seen has been wholly inadequate.
Skipping select committees is also the most constitutionally fraught aspect of urgency, because in a unicameral system like ours, with very few checks and balances, the select committee process is considered crucial as a pause and a check on a government's capacity for pretty unbridled legislating. Plus, it's where mistakes and unintended consequences are found and fixed. Most bills return from select committee with amendments. Most bills are improved with time, with thought, and with public input. And this is why it's become more common in recent years to shorten rather than to skip the select committee. So why choose urgency anyway? Well, as it happens, Parliament's rules expect that governments provide the House with reasons when asking for urgency. But reasons aren't compulsory and they can be thin on the ground.
And newsflash for the opposition, at the election in October last year, that mandate was delivered by the New Zealand people. And we have pulled together our 100-day plan and we are now proceeding to implement it.
Let me posit a few reasons myself, some practical, some tactical. Practically speaking, urgency is especially useful for new governments, which often have a lot of policy, but a shortage of bills ready to debate. Many fewer than it takes to fill a week of normal debate in the House. So, for example, not having to wait those 3 days to debate a new bill helps if you're drafting them close to the wind and you have few options. Skipping the select committee process uses up even more debating time. If a new government follows the normal rules, has a first reading and then sends a bill to committee for months, well, that takes 2 hours tops, and now it has to find other things to debate. A parliamentary fortnight includes about 21 hours for debating government bills, and a new government with mostly first readings available would need to draft at least 5 new bills a week just to keep up. So to fill time, most new governments pick up half-finished business from the previous administration and amend it along the way if necessary. The alternative is urgency. Debating a contentious bill under urgency will fill a day at least. You might only need 4 bills a fortnight, half as many, buying time to write some more.
And members opposite cry crocodile tears about urgency because I've sat where they sat for 6 years and I realise...
But there are also tactical considerations. Quick wins can satisfy a government's electoral promises and keep their voters happy. And there are political advantages to speed, especially skipping select committee. Those hearings always include experts deriding your ideas, or much worse, people telling personal stories and getting emotional. The media loves that.
At least put it to a select committee so we can hear from communities whose whānau will die as a result of this. The 8,000 whose lives would have been saved by this legislation. But no, that hasn't happened.
Legislating slowly allows a bill's opposition time to ramp up public feeling, to build pressure and to mount a campaign. But speed moves contentious topics out of the news cycle as fast as possible. Consider, for example, the previous government's 3 waters changes. They took 2 years and built a wave of opposition. But if they'd been done and dusted in a week, would their opponents have managed the same campaign? So in summary, sometimes speed is genuinely necessary. Sometimes governments, especially new governments, have practical reasons for aspects of urgency. But also, tactically speaking, urgency can allow a contentious idea to become a fact before its opponents have quite come up with a slogan. And cynics might argue, well, sometimes that's reason enough. Now, earlier I observed that opposition MPs were getting tetchy this week. I was being euphemistic. There was a lot of emotion in the House, as Johnny Blades notes.
Being a presiding officer when contentious bills are going through Parliament under urgency, as they are presently, can be tough work. And this week's action in the chamber had multiple examples. One of the big challenges is refereeing debate when it gets fiery, particularly among opposition MPs who are frustrated and angry that laws they passed are being systematically dismantled. MPs such as Labour leader Chris Hipkins, debating the Smoke-Free Environments and Regulated Products Amendment Bill, while Assistant Speaker Maureen Pugh of the National Party sat in the big chair.
And it is clear, and the members opposite might be shaking their head about the fact that I'm angry about this. My question again to them is, why the hell aren't you? Why the hell are you not angry about that to the members opposite? Because this is a bill that will kill people. Why is it that you now believe that liberalising the sale of cigarettes is an appropriate way to raise $500 million in revenue every year so that you can fund tax cuts that will disproportionately benefit the wealthiest New Zealanders?
Can I interrupt the member and remind the member not to bring the Speaker into the stage?
I am not, Madam Speaker. In fact, I made it very clear that these were questions to the members opposite, but thank you for doing the government's bidding by interrupting my flow.
Excuse me, the member will stop. Do not bring the Speaker into your debate and do not disrespect the chair. I will ask the member to withdraw and apologise.
Do not disrespect me by interrupting me with a point that is not relevant.
The member will resume his seat. Your debate is now interrupted, and I will give you the opportunity to stand, withdraw and apologise your aspersion on the chair, and then you can resume your debate.
I withdraw and apologise. This is a government that has absolutely no moral compass whatsoever.
Another reason why it gets testy is because in many cases these bills are being rushed through all stages without the opportunity for public consultation. So opposition MPs are naturally eager to grab any opportunity afforded by the Committee of the Whole House stage of the bill to ask very detailed questions while conveying their concerns with the legislation. And it's incumbent on the presiding officer to keep things on topic. And this is what Deputy Speaker Barbara Kuriga attempted during the committee stage of the Pai Order, Disestablishment of the Māori Health Authority Bill.
I just want to mention to the House, I've heard many calls on dissatisfaction over the bill itself. I've heard the Minister answer questions about employment and the structural changes that he intends, and I've also heard answers around the disability questions that have been asked, and I am looking for very new questions, not speeches of dissatisfaction. Thank you.
Now, the opposition was concerned that the Health Minister, Shane Retty, had not adequately answered some of their questions. However, Couriger was satisfied he had. Similarly, when she drew this particular part of the debate to a close, not everyone was satisfied that she'd given them a fair go.
Ricardo Menendez-Marr.
Just inviting the chair for some reflections, because as soon as you came into the chair, you invited us to proceed with the debate within some specific guidelines. There was, I believe, just one call, mine, I think, after you indicated those guidelines. And in my case, I made it really clear that I had three specific questions. I didn't keep my remarks to reflections of why I disliked the bill. And I made sure that these were things that I believe were not repetitive.
Can you please...
My point of order is, I'm just inviting you to reflect on why would you come into the chair to make a reflection and then only allow for one call, rather than in good faith allow the members to scrutinise the bill.
Could I ask the member to resume? I did say that I've been watching the debate. There are a series of speakers, so it's or chairs sitting in the chair. And I did say that the employment issues had been well traversed, and I did hear, and I heard repetition in the member's speech. And so please do not argue with the chair. I've made a decision. Thank you.
Things got even more fiddly when Labor MPs referred to the Waitangi Tribunal, where a claim had been brought to challenge the government's move to disestablish the Māori Health Authority. However, the government then decided to pass the bill before the claim could be heard.
I take the notion quite literally. In Ngāti Hine tradition, Te Aka Kumara, is that part of the plant that ensures the health?
I'm going to stop the member. Look, the Waitangi Tribunal is a separate matter. It's something that we shouldn't be bringing into the title. The member can talk about the title and commencement.
Yes, I am.
But not directly quoting from the tribunal as it happens.
But while Couriger was trying to guide the debate, Labor MP Duncan Webb offered the Deputy Speaker some guidance herself.
Because the starting place in debate is that this House is free to discuss any matter. And the ruling you've made is of considerable significance in curtailing that right. Now, the Speaker's rulings are clear, and at 38.6, it makes it very clear that the House is not debarred from discussing a matter that is before a Royal Commission, as it would be the case as if it were before the courts. Now, the Waitangi Tribunal is a standing commission of inquiry with recommendatory powers only, and your ruling is now cutting directly across an existing Speaker's ruling. And I think, with the utmost respect, Madam Chair, that this needs to be looked at with real care, because the Waitangi Tribunal is entirely distinct from a court, and the sub judice rule has no part to play.
Despite the ructions, both the Pai Order Disestablishment of the Māori Health Authority Bill and the Smoke-Free Environments and Regulated Products Amendment Bill passed through all stages. You've been listening to The House, a program made possible with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk, Mā Te Wā.